Now it was Philippians chapter 4 and a single verse, unusually, that two of you, one after the other, or two after one another, spoke to me that you would like to hear me preach on. So I will do it, and it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The context is the giving of the Lord's people to him, providing to him for things that are necessary. Rejoicing, says Paul, in the Lord greatly, because you were careful, you were concerned, but you didn't have the opportunity. So it's been a long while, but I praise the Lord that you have sent me those provisions. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So we're going to bear that in mind. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But in whatsoever state I am, this text is relevant. And Paul then gives an example, one of the states. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. When things are going swimmingly and when things are very difficult, I know how to handle these things, because I am instructed everywhere and in all things. I am instructed. I can do all things through Christ because I'm instructed, because I'm shown the way, because I am enabled to do these things. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Good times, bad times. We can do things through Christ who strengthens us. Now the text says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Leave out the last bit, and you get, I can do all things. And that is nonsense. And so you see, we need Christ. And people, even Christians, live as if they can do all things. And sometimes they come up sharp, because the Holy Spirit even leads us as he led Paul in the matter of the instruction in whatsoever state he is. Now, we can't. Jesus himself taught in John 15, verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing that is of any lasting value. Nothing that will change people's lives for eternity. Without me, ye can do nothing. So if we can do all things, it's exactly what our text says. We do them through Christ, who strengthens me. Now, when we were just looking through the states, I know that in whatsoever state I am, I have learned to be content. So he stresses learning to be content. In all things I am instructed. And we learn from the scriptures. But I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, I want to work through some of the states so that I can do all things in what situations? Well, in these days, we began with the ones that Paul spoke about. He's learned that in whatsoever state he is, therewith to be content. The Lord teaches us through him, be content with such things as ye have, for I am with you. So the presence of Christ is the great deterrent to dissatisfaction, to being deprived of the things we most want because we got what we most want wrong. Paul tells us that if those states are opposite, abased or abound, full or hungry, then he knows he's been instructed how to handle them. So if we seek to do all things through Christ, look for his strength. Let's just think about one or two of the states in which we may learn, be instructed, know how to handle them. First, therefore, let me mention to you the state of accomplishment, the accomplishing of things in our lives. It's very easy, very, very easy to think we can manage in our own strength when we're in the prime of life, when we're at the beginning of life. The accomplishments. Maybe we have gifts, maybe we've learned subjects, maybe we fulfill responsibility. But without the presence of Christ, our reaction to these things and our handling so one state is the state of accomplishing, fulfilling our responsibilities. I can do all things. Or maybe we're tempted to think we can do all things. When they go to be a bit pear-shaped, we realize that we can't do all that we thought we could. And the secret, of course, is without me, says Jesus, you can do nothing. Oh, of course, you can continue in your accomplishing, in your fulfilling responsibilities. But the significance of your life's work fades when the Lord Jesus does not apply it to those who have great need, to those of his children. Well, in what other things, all things, what other things can we do through Christ? Management. Management of, perhaps we are managers. Perhaps we're thinking of managing our life, our lifestyle. Perhaps we're thinking of managing our time. And these things are different, and they're different from accomplishments and accomplishing. But if we are to manage our lifestyle well, if we're to manage our affairs well, if we're to manage our lives well, if we're to manage our work well, if we're to manage our team well, then we can only do it through Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But whatsoever state we're in, the Lord will help us to do all things. When he speaks about all things, and Paul says in whatsoever state, it's the situation, you see, in which we find ourselves. No matter what state it is, the situation in which we find ourselves is the situation we can triumph in by drawing nigh to Christ and seeking Christ to draw near to us. Whatsoever state, all things. Now, All things won't come our way. We only have a proportion of the good and bad things in this world. We can't know every possible experience. And so the state in which we find ourselves is that that we're to be looking to. I can do all things. Well, all things that come to me, all things that occur to me, all things that are part of my life. I can do these things. I can manage them. I can manage them without upsetting people. I can manage them without causing distress. I can manage them so that they can work with great efficiency, whatever it is. But we can do all of those things, whatsoever state we are. And management may be one of them. Whatsoever state, I can do all things. Enduring. Enduring pain is very difficult. You all know that. And nowhere is it more vital than that Christ should be with you. Without him, we can bear no fruit. Without him, we're nothing. And we may cry out to God in pain, to the Saviour in pain. And he has said that whatever state we're in, he will make us content. Now, how can you be content in pain? It's not something you'd wish upon yourself or anybody else. It's not something that you would welcome. And especially pain of mind, the sort of pains that afflict those, if you like, who've got Alzheimer's or so on. But the pains of the mind, which are different but very powerful and very distressing, I can overcome them or I can endure them. The Saviour's presence, the Saviour's directing me to the scriptures, the Saviour's bringing back to my mind through the Spirit this verse or that verse. We may have sweet fellowship together, which will make me forget my pain, at least for the time being. We can do all things, even enduring pain, and even enduring reproach. People don't like us because of what we believe. They know we trust in the Lord Jesus, they don't. Cain murdered Abel because Abel's works were good and his were bad. So the Lord teaches us, instructs us, is present with us as we endure pain, illness, reproach, foreboding of what might happen to us. In all these situations, Christ enables us, only Christ, to draw near to him. And if it be the matter of combating our failings, perhaps we are afraid of this or that, which we have to, and we have to fight within ourselves. It would seem almost that we have to force ourselves to do things. Yet even in the combating, so that we may overcome, the Lord will bless us if we win a battle. Or if we win the war, we won't necessarily win every battle. But the Lord Jesus will help those who cry out to him in the midst of their seeking to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to combat their concerns and to worry. In all things, Paul learned, Paul knows, Paul was instructed. And in all things, we know, because we are instructed by Christ. I can do all things through Christ. So, the state, what about the state of guidance? Or the planning of our lives. We do not know the future. Neither do we know the entirety of our own makeup. And therefore, it is very easy to decide this or to go for that without consulting the Lord first. And that is very dangerous indeed. If you go cycling like I used to do, and you come to a fork in the road, and there are no signs, and you opt for one, and it's the wrong one, it's terribly difficult to get back. And if, like me, if you took a left fork forward and not the right fork forward, and you want to get back to the other road, instead of going back to the fork, you try and go cross country till you meet the other road. That is absolutely fatal. So, when we're seeking guidance, let us be sure that we bring everything before the Lord, every relevant issue. We ask the Lord also to take into account things of which we are not aware. When He's guiding a young person, they don't know what the future is going to be, even as we don't know what our more limited future is going to be. But the Lord safeguards, the Lord enables us to. I've always liked the picture of going through a very narrow, miry part. If you tiptoe, you're all right, but if you plonk, you're not. And so it is that He enables us to tiptoe through the difficulties, through the dangers, planning, guidance. In that state, we need Christ. Without Him, we can do nothing. We don't need to know the outcome. The Lord has gifted us with certain gifts, certain abilities, certain things, and maybe He's given us certain opportunities. But still, we need to seek Him precisely to lead us, to keep us from the wrong way, to show us from His word what is the right path. And then, whatsoever state we are in, reaction. Reaction. Our usual reaction if something occurs or somebody says something is to justify ourselves. And we need strength to react aright. We cry out to the Lord to help us to react in situations. Right. Let me just read to you a little bit from 1 Corinthians 13, where the word charity equals love. It's agape, the same as it's love elsewhere in the New Testament. I'm reading from verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Is our reaction immediate? Or do we pray to the Lord? Do we endure it for a while? Paul, you remember, endured the girl who kept crying about that they were servants of the Most High God. There came a time when it was right to speak against her and to cast the devil out of her, but it wasn't the first day, the second, or the third. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Is that reaction of mind, that state of mind, kindly? Kindly in the sense of welcoming, but kindly in the sense of it will do them good. It will make a constructive use of the situation that has occurred to which I am reacting. Charity envieth not. Is that helpful? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not show off, does not think too highly of itself. If this is our state, well, these words are a great help to us. It does not behave itself unseemly, losing your temper in public. That's unseemly behaviour. Very easy. Nobody's perfect in this respect. But the Lord will take command of us We can do all things. We can react rightly to every situation if we call upon his name. He will give the strength to do that. He's not easily provoked. We might react with those who want to hit back. We might be hurt and therefore want to reply with double. We think no evil. Love thinketh no evil. Oh, when people do something, our reaction is to think the worst possible way, the worst scenario of what they've done. That they're horrible people, they're terrible people, you can't expect anything nicer than them. What? But that is no reaction for a Christian. And if it is our weakness, then we need the strength of Christ, even in this situation, in all situations, in whatsoever state we are, to be content. Rejoice is not in iniquity. Ah, those who've hurt us, they suddenly get into trouble. Oh, we're pleased. Well, that's not right. That's not what Christian love is about. That is not what Christ is about. And Christ will strengthen us with might in that situation. Love believeth all things, believes the best of people, believes they're not as bad as other people think they are, believes that what they did, the motive was good, even possibly it wasn't, but it may sound as if we were a bit weak or a bit naive, but the love of Christ gets us to believe all things till they're proved otherwise. We rejoice in the truth. Well, can't go through the whole of 1 Corinthians 13, but you can see that there is quite teaching the Spirit lead you there. If you are aware that your reactions to situations are bad, we never know what situation we're going to meet. We never know what we're going to find. We never know what's in us till a particular temptation comes. Well, reacting. And also, amongst all the things that we've learned, all the things to do through Christ who strengthens me, worship and prayer. The enemy of worship and the enemy of prayer is formality. Your heart is not really in it. It may just be words, or the words go over your head. Maybe like that. It may be we have wandering minds in worship, thinking about, is the dinner cooking all right? Thinking about what we've got to do tomorrow. But we don't even know we've got tomorrow, we've only got the present day. All these things the Lord will enable us to do. The situations we meet, whatsoever state we are in, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I read Psalm 138 because it tells us where we're strengthened. Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. I cried and you answered. But where did the strength enter me? Where did the strength come into me? How was I able to assume, assimilate that strength? Well, it was because it was applied to my soul. We know in earthly things, if we lose faith, if we lose confidence, if we lose certain other things, the physical aspect of success or whatever, would vanish out of the window. So, in those things to which we cry out to the Lord, for we know we do not have strength, the answer comes to our soul. It gives impetus from the center of our being. It gives impetus to the very most inward part of us to accomplish those things that please Him. Sometimes we can go mad physically, but there's no spiritual content. There's no help in our soul. The presence of Jesus comforts, and that gives strength. The presence of Jesus guides us. That gives strength. To know that we are in His will, that gives strength. To know that whatever error we commit, He will pardon us and have mercy on us and set us on our feet again rejoicing, that gives strength. That strength is for the soul. And this is where he begins with us. Soul strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And where does that strength come from? It comes from the Spirit, but it comes from the Spirit operating deep within. Perhaps on our deepest thoughts, perhaps on our deepest fears, but the Spirit enables us from the depths of our heart to see things that before we did not see because we were working purely carnally. Well, strength in the soul. And then we couldn't complete this, could we, without turning to 2 Corinthians 11, which we read. So I've got 2 Corinthians 12, sorry. I'm preaching from the book that I can read rather than my Westminster Bible. And you do get used to whereabouts a thing is on the page, don't you? Yeah, those words that we read from 2 Corinthians 12. Lest, verse 7, I should be exalted above measure. So, pride, being gifted in a great way, experience that no others have, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations. So, if we have an abundance of skills, an abundance of gifts, an abundance of opportunities, then the Lord may bring us lower in order to prevent pride. Lest I should be exalted among above measure, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Above measure occurs twice in that verse. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the revelations, the abundance of them. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You can guess what you like about what that means, and all the commentators differ. I like to interpret scripture by scripture, and every use of the word thorn metaphorically in the Old Testament is people, enemy people. They're the thorns. They're the pricks inside. The Jews who left the folks who they were supposed to destroy in the land, they were pricks and thorns to them. So maybe there was given someone to Paul who was always troubling him, always against him. The general thought is that maybe it was his eyesight. Well, we don't actually know, and I think we're on safer ground interpreting thorns by how it's interpreted in the old. But I leave that with you. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me under Satan's control. But just as with Job, the Lord allowed Satan to do as much as suited what was necessary to bring me back to myself, to bring me back to the love of the Lord properly. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So what happens? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, obviously we begin where Paul begins. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Could this problem, could this ill health, could this temptation, could whatever it is, just vanish away? Could it stop persecuting us? Could it stop bringing us low? Well, the Lord said to Paul, he says to us, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So we've been dealing with strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Without me, you can do nothing. Strength, strength in our soul. My strength, he says, is made perfect in weakness. If we're failing, cast your burden upon the Lord. If a thing is too complicated, cast your burden upon the Lord. If things are going swimmingly, cast it upon the Lord and praise him, lest you be exalted above measure. For we will not have spiritual strength unless we're weak. Pride and strength are diametrically opposed to the strength of God. So here we are, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's a good approach for us, isn't it? We do feel weak. We're in a vast world. We've never seen the Lord. We know by faith. All sorts of things make us seem weak. But the Lord's great delight is to make us perfect, to make our strength perfect, that we may serve him. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I love Paul's reaction. It's absolutely wonderful. Most gladly will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Have you tried that? It's not easy, but it is what the Bible advocates. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If I were strong, I wouldn't ask the power of Christ. I'd do it in my own strength. I'd say that the Lord had given me that strength, but it wouldn't be dependence. There would be too much of self involved in it. I take pleasure, says Paul, not only glory in infirmities, I take pleasure in them. Pain? Well, yes. He was lashed with 49 stripes 3 times. He was in the deep day and night several times. These things were infirmities, but he takes pleasure in them. Because God's victory over sin is being accomplished. Because the salvation of souls is being realized. Those who watch our lives can see that we are different from the way they would do things. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, that's famines, or when I haven't got enough to eat, or in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Because when I am weak, then am I strong. So if we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens, it is that we make ourselves weak. We feel ourselves to be weak, and we desire that the Saviour should draw near to us to help us in our weakness. Perhaps we didn't do it when we were proud. Perhaps we didn't do it when we were just the ordinary way of things, neither bad nor good. But the Bible teaches that in whatsoever state we are, whatever things are happening to us, whatever things are out of our control happening, things that we don't like or things that we do, to be content. Because in these, the sweetest fellowship of all, fellowship with the Lord, will be granted. His delight is with the sons of men. He delights to help them where they're weak. Trouble is, they don't always know that they're weak. I can do all things, all the things that happen to me, all the things that are part of my life. Not everything without ending, but those things that come to us. I can do all things, provided Christ strengthens me. Christ strengthens us when we're weak. Christ strengthens us in our soul. Without him, we can do nothing. So if we are to do anything worthwhile in his service, he must be present to strengthen us and lead us. It's a subject that is perhaps difficult to preach on because none of us has perfectly succeeded, least of all the minister. But we seek the Lord together for his strength and blessing in these terrible days. They are still gospel days. How we'd love to see the Lord, if it pleased him, moved by the saving of many, many people. He does what he pleases. It is for us to cast ourselves on him and seek him to lift us up. Amen.